All right, so I'm Jason. I'm with the partnerships team at VIA, and I'm joined today by Mr. Chad Ballantyne, who is the Vice President for Demand Response and Innovative Mobility at the Capital Metropolitan Transit Authority in Austin, Texas. So, Chad, thanks very much for joining us today. I wanted to ask you a quick question because I think, one of the things that makes pickup so unique as a microtransit service is the fact that you actually did a pilot of pickup several years ago. I'm wondering if you can tell us very briefly about that pilot, maybe a little bit about what you learned from it, and then on the heels of that, why you decided to invest more long term in pickup as a microtransit solution for the Austin metro area.
Certainly. Yeah, so like you mentioned, we did a pilot in several years ago where we initially started it as a deviated fixed route. So we had an area of town where we had a large population of people with disabilities and our paratransit eligible customers. And so we were trying to find a way to get folks off of paratransit onto a fixed route, but sort of fixed route light. So we ran a bus up and down the road, and it was just your traditional dial-a-ride, essentially. People would call in, they would deviate off the route to go pick people up. It wasn't too far into that when we found out that people don't dial-a-ride, they don't call in. We had a handful of people doing it, and it just was not very successful. And we were kind of losing faith in it, and then we decided to pilot with the VIA platform as well. So we converted that dial-a-ride program into the first iteration of pickup, which was, we learned a lot during that time. And so once we converted it to a pickup service where it wasn't just a bus going up and down a road deviating, it was just a bus that only went where people wanted to go to and from, it changed everything. It became very popular, and the ridership increased significantly. And then at that point, we kind of knew we had something we needed to continue further on. So we ran the pilot for a year, shut it down because we learned a ton, and we rebranded and we refigured everything else out, and we brought it back out and really went full steam ahead with pickup as it is today.
Great. And you changed a couple of things compared to that first iteration of pickup from the current one. And I think another thing that makes pickup really unique in its current iteration is just it's not just one microtransit zone, right? There's really six zones in one, and all of those zones are really unique, I think, from one another. So can you mention a couple of things that makes each of those pickup zones unique from one another? And then maybe some things that have surprised you in terms of the ridership growth in each zone that you've experienced over the past year with pickup.
Yeah. So, pickup, as you're aware, is a app-based service that is on demand. And we had some pretty standard rules of 15-minute or less response times, those kinds of things. But rolling it out in six different zones was very unique because every one of those zones is very different. I think I should first also point out that pickup is an important transit tool. We really identified that it shouldn't be done alone. It really needs to be used in context of the fixed route services that you're running. So identifying what it is you're trying to solve was, I think, the most important thing we did. And with each of these six zones, we were solving some different types of situations. We have three real use cases for how we use pickup here at the agency. We have first mile, last mile service, which is pretty standard, getting people to and from a rail stop, a bus stop, a major origin or destination. And then also fixed route replacement service. And that is where we actually removed a fixed route because it wasn't performing. And we were able to put this in its place. And a lot of times when they're not performing, it's either because there just aren't enough density of stops in one location. It's just not dense enough to support full transit, full bus transit. So it's a great use for the fixed route replacement service. And then finally, the third main one that we use it for is for coverage, for gap service. So wherever we don't have transit, because it's not going to make sense in low density areas to even put a bus out there in the first place, or geographic barriers where you've got rivers, you've got a lot of neighborhoods with round, you know, streets that don't connect, that kind of thing, or areas that are just developing. So we have some areas like a place called the Mueller Development is an area, our old airport in the city of Austin, they converted it into a huge mixed use neighborhood, but it wasn't always ready for a fixed route. We now have fixed route, but in the beginning, it just couldn't support it because things were just getting built. So it's a really good use for that as well. And then ridership is interesting. The ridership growth is unique in each of those zones. So some of those zones just went like a wildfire. They started ridership pretty fast. They got a lot of rides in. Some were slower to grow. One of the things we do here is we make sure that we give 6 months to test it out, make sure you're comfortable with the zone, make sure, you know, folks are getting used to it. You don't want to make any major changes in the first 6 months because ridership's going to grow gradually. So be prepared for that. I think that's the other thing is we also manage expectations with ridership, with our management, with our leadership, that it's not everything's going to go, you know, immediately day one. It is a service that grows. But then also on the flip side of that, it does grow. And so when you do grow, you need to be ready for that growth. And so that's the other thing. We had to make sure that we were ready with additional vehicles and operators and those kinds of things. And we were, it was well planned out. So that was pretty cool. And then I'd have to say there are times where it might not work. We have one zone that's not performing and we know that, and we're looking to eventually shut that one down. But I don't think that a failed zone is a failed program by any means. I think it's just really a good way to learn what the community needs. So for example, in that failed zone, it was actually fixed route bus replacement. We had a lot of pushback for removing the route. So we put in pickup, and then we found that we didn't even have ridership on the pickup. And ultimately the bottom line is that area of town just does not support transit at any level. So that's fine. We've demonstrated that. And I think that has actually been a very useful purpose for having that specific zone.
Interesting. I think, you know, on the other hand, one thing that's been really interesting to me is that, you know, we've seen relatively low growth in the zone that you mentioned. On the other hand, a much lower density zone, like a Manor zone, which is in a much more rural area, has probably exceeded expectations in a lot of ways. Why do you think Absolutely. That's the case?
Yeah, and you know, I think every zone has been a little bit surprising for us. The rural zones are very interesting because a lot of times those areas won't have access to like an Uber or a Lyft or taxis or anything. So, you know, in urban environments, you might have, you know, all of those kinds of things that you can also use as a backup. But in some of those rural areas or suburban areas where it's just not as available, options just aren't there. And so I think that's partially why that has become so popular. And also it's more affordable to live out there. So some folks who are on limited incomes, they actually rely heavily on our service. And I think that's why it's been so successful out there.
Great. Well, look, no good web interview these days can go on without a mention of COVID-19. So I wanna shift gears just a little bit. Texas, obviously where Austin is located, was among the earlier states to begin kind of a phased reopening process in the wake of the ongoing health crisis. So aside from kind of a decrease in ridership that I think most, if not all, transit agencies across the country are experiencing now, have you noticed any changes in ridership patterns in the Austin metro area during kind of the phased reopening process, as opposed to the normal patterns that you saw before the crisis set in?
Yeah, so I'll definitely say that Austin is very different than the rest of Texas. We've had stay-at-home orders extended a little bit longer, recommended stay-at-home orders longer than what the governor had put out there. So we've got a lot of people really following that, which is good. We're all for that. Our ridership is down, obviously, across the board. So is traffic. Everything's down. Our pickup ridership is around 50% of our pre-COVID levels, which is actually just a little bit higher than what our, actually a lot higher than what our fixed route buses are experiencing right now. And so That's been interesting. I think people realize that they have an easier ability to social distance when they're doing a pickup type of service versus when you get on a bus, you don't know what you're going to get. We were able to reduce our hours and weekdays and keep it only to weekdays, which has been helpful because we've been able to communicate that to all of our customers, and we're hearing from them. And I think that we're starting to see more and more folks coming back online. But one of the things we learned when it comes to the ridership post-COVID was keep an eye on when stimulus checks are put out, food benefits, or the first of the month assistance payments, those kinds of things. We had a lot of peaks in ridership at those times. And so those are some of the things we've been keeping an eye out for, because some people did get out there to go to the grocery stores and that kind of thing.
Interesting. Now, obviously, you and I think a lot of other transit leaders across the country are in a position now where you kind of have to plot the agency's way out of this crisis. So as you start to think about how you're going to do that, how do you see on-demand services like pickup being more or less resilient in terms of ridership shocks that you've seen, again, before COVID and certainly after the crisis set in?
Yeah. So with this pandemic, we've really had to adjust everything, obviously. Everything we've been doing has been really interesting. With pickup, I find that it's more scalable than a fixed drop bus, which has been very helpful for us. Mm-hmm. So, with a fixed drop bus, I either put it out there or I don't put it out there. Or I really stretch out the headways and really provide terrible service, that kind of thing. So it fixed drop bus and rail is just not as scalable as pickup. When it comes to pickup, I'm able to, as we get more riders, I'm able to add more service incrementally. And to the customer, it's actually pretty, they don't see that at all. They only know that we're, responding within 15 minutes or less. And so they see just good service. Well, on the back end, we're able to scale up and down based off of what our real needs are and how many operators we have, that kind of thing. And I think the other interesting thing about pickup specifically is we have the ability to communicate with all of our customers directly. We have their email or their phone number, or we can have a message in the app. And so instead of putting things on social media and posting things everywhere and hoping we're reaching all of our riders, we're able to directly contact them, which has been pretty cool. And then the other thing we're able to do is we're able to limit the shared rides through the app. We were able to change some of the back end. Via was able to help us adjust things on the back end to limit the number of shared rides. So that's been helpful. And we can communicate that to our customers, so that gives them a little bit more of a sense of comfort too.
Excellent. Now, part of your role, obviously, is leading innovative mobility for Cap Metro. In that respect, what role do you hope technology plays in helping you to bring customers back to transit in the long term and keeping them safe while doing so in the wake of this crisis?
That's a good one. I think there's still a lot to be seen here. Technology, things such as social media have helped us communicate. So that we've relied on that a lot, because we know that people have been on social media a lot while they are staying at home. So that's been a very big help for us. Like I said, on pickup, we were able to limit shared rides. And talking about, the scalability of pickup, that is something that we could potentially use as, if we do this again, if we see this kind of thing happening again, if we have a second wave or some other type of pandemic type of situation, I think we would be poised to roll out more service in the future, because it's been a lot easier to surgically put in service where we need it and remove it where we don't. So again, the scaling up and down of our services has been really helpful. But I think we're still trying to see how technology is going to impact us. It's a very interesting world right now. I think everything is kind of open and out there. And, with a crisis, you kind of see your vulnerabilities and you learn about organizational blind spots. But with crisis also opportunities come along, which is always something to consider. So we're trying to kind of fix what's broken right now, improve where we can. I would say expand upon what we do well, and then kind of find out new ways to innovate and keep our eyes open, because I think there's a lot out there, and we're just kind of learning how this pandemic is changing the way we live life now.
Amazing. Jed, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on our interview series here. Any last notes that you want to mention to the audience here before we cut it out?
I appreciate everyone's hard work in the transit industry. I think it's been a pretty impressive response, especially our frontline operators. That's one of the things that has been wonderful. It keeps me coming to work and keeps me working nonstop to help protect them and keep them going. So just a big thanks to everyone out in the transit world.
And I know we feel the same. Chad, thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.